Action WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A public memorial for Charlie Kirk has been announced for 1 week from today at State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. The investigation into his assassination Wednesday at Utah Valley University continues. ABC's Jacqueline Lee is in Orem, Utah, with more.
The university announcing employees will return to campus tomorrow, with classes resuming Wednesday. Utah Governor Spencer Cox calling for unity as the nation recovers from yet another act of political violence.
President Trump on social media called on NATO members to stop buying Russian oil, saying that would stop the war in Ukraine, but that's not likely to happen. Secretary of State Marco Rubio has arrived in Tel Aviv. He'll meet with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today as Israel continues its strikes on Gaza. And at the end of his weekly prayers in St. Peter's Square, Pope Leo thanked well-wishers for their wishes on his 70th birthday. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. Experts are warning that active clubs, those white nationalist groups disguised as fitness and brotherhood organizations, are spreading rapidly in Wisconsin and nationally. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection has more.
Experts say they're seeing a rise in white nationalist movements in Wisconsin and across the country that are disguising themselves as fitness groups. They're called active clubs and present themselves as sporting clubs or fighting clubs focused on brotherhood. Art Gibson, professor of sociology and criminology at the University of Dayton, says they recruit both online and in person, targeting young white men using shared interests as tools to gradually introduce and normalize racist ideologies.
You add to that the willingness to engage in violence against people of color, LGBTQ people. There's a clear potential for violence here.
Gibson says active clubs often meet in Christian churches and gyms, with recent activity showing multi-state coordination, like a Wisconsin active club regularly meeting with an Illinois active club for family days. They use distinctive symbols like the Celtic cross, a well-known neo-Nazi symbol, and share content across social media platforms to maintain connections between chapters and other white supremacist groups. Gibson says the groups are a huge shift in organizing for white supremacists and white nationalists following what he calls a decentralized leaderless resistance. Gibson says new chapters of active clubs are frequently being created and linking with one another. Members say they are dedicated to self-improvement and brotherhood, seeing themselves as a noble resistance in the cause of preserving the white race. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Find more news anytime at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers head to the playoffs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Milwaukee Brewers, with the best record in baseball, clinched a spot in the playoffs, then won a thriller last night, 9-8 over the Cardinals in 10 innings. The Crew, down 6-1, came back to tie it up in the ninth, then finished with their 11th walk-off victory of the season. After wrapping up the series at AmFan Field today, they travel to L.A. to play the Angels Tuesday night. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers fell behind early, 21-0 at halftime, and went on to lose at Alabama, 38-14. Luke Fickell after the loss.
We knew we had to come out here in the first half in particular and play solid, play poised, play confident, find a way to make some plays and on both sides of the ball, but really make sure that what we could do was make some adjustments at the halftime and come out the second half and make sure that we could put the pressure on them. And it's exactly opposite of what we did.
That's the Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Low clouds and fog giving way to sunshine with highs in the upper 70s to lower 80s and east to southeast wind on the light side. Tonight, mostly clear skies, lows in the upper 50s to lower 60s. On Monday, sunshine, low to mid 80s. It's 57 at our studios.
Looking for live entertainment in a unique setting? Discover the Thrasher Opera House in Green Lake, Wisconsin. The historic venue offers a full calendar of professional live performances with artists from around the world. With its intimate seating and exceptional acoustics, the Thrasher provides an up-close and personal experience with free parking, affordable pricing, and an easy ticket buying process. For event schedules and ticket information, visit ThrasherOperaHouse.com.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Hey, it's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 for you. And Saturday, September 20th, starting at 8 a.m., is the 9/11 Memorial Stair Climb at Lambeau Field. What's a stair climb? Well, this event is a tribute to the 343 firefighters who gave their lives at the World Trade Center on September 11th, 2001. Members of the community are invited to climb the equivalent of 110 stories on the steps of Lambeau Field. I have done this climb once, and it is rough, but very impactful. Sign up today. Head to WISS.FM and click events.
Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, WGBW afternoon host and actor Eric Westfall joins in studio. Then Mental Health Warrior Film Festival founder Max Blaska joins. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
On the Civic Media Radio Network, we're going to talk about the swinging 70s. Okay, they weren't so swinging. But you'll remember some of these things I'm going to present to you over the next few minutes.
Hello?
The music of the stars. Remember some of these great TV shows? Remember Bob Newhart from Chicago? Well, he's very proud of being from the Windy City.
And I grew up in Chicago, and the area of town I grew up in was at the end of the bus line, and the bus drivers would turn around and they'd head back downtown. So I had been watching bus drivers since I was like 5 or 6 years old, and became convinced very early there must be a school that all bus drivers attend, because they couldn't innately know these things that they're able to do. So I'd like to take you now to that school, and as we enter the course, we find the instructor talking to the student bus drivers. Gentlemen, you have just completed what's known as a basic course in bus driving. We're going to present you here with actual situations you'll encounter while driving your buses, and it's primarily designed to find out whether you're going to be good bus drivers or possibly one of the great all-time bus drivers. Of course, when I say great all-time bus drivers, immediately comes to mind the name Larry Strickland, probably the greatest bus driver of the 40s and then into the 50s. Neil Norlag, certainly the greatest left-handed bus driver we've ever seen. So what we're going to do, we're going to take one of the students, Johnson, yeah, you want to get in the bus, and Miss Selkirk, yeah, you want to get back to your marks, and we're going to present you with situations you'll very often encounter on your buses. All right, Johnson, yeah, you pull your bus in. All right, discharge your passengers. Now, out of the rearview mirror, you'll notice this old woman running for the bus. Yeah, you want to start running, Miss Selkirk? Let's see how Johnson handles this. You're pulling out much too fast, Johnson. Hold it. Hold it. Yeah, she gave up halfway up in the block that time. Yeah. No, what you want to do is just kind of gradually ease out, you know, and you're kind of always holding out the hope they can catch up with the bus, you know what I mean? Now, another thing you have to watch, a lot of these older women, they'll run at three-quarter speed, and they'll put on a final burst and catch up with the bus. So. All right, Johnson, let's try another one. Graham, you want to try your hand, the same problem? Yeah, you want to get back to your marks, Mr. Selkirk? Okay, same situation. You pull in, discharge your passengers. All right, you want to start running, Mr. Selkirk? Let's see how Graham handles this. Did you see how he slammed the door right in her face that time? That's called your perfect pullout. And now, it wasn't part of the problem, Graham, but it shows you're thinking on your feet. You blocked two full lanes of traffic that time. Very good. Okay, Graham, Miss Selkirk will try situation 13. Okay, yeah. Graham, we'll stay with you. You're doing very well. This happens very often. You're on your route. All of a sudden, a car pulls in front of you, and on the back is a sign, caution, student driver learning to drive, something like that. All right. But, yeah, Graham, you want to be driving? All right, Miss Selkirk, you want to pull in front of him? Let's see how Graham handles this. Excellent. He got back, I guess about 10, 15 car lengths, got it up to around 60. And then when he's right on top of her, bang, he comes down on his brakes. And then hit the horn with his elbow. Could you notice how the car just kind of swerved out of control? when she dove for the floorboard? Oh, very good, Graham. All right, Miss Selkirk, you want to extricate yourself? Well, just crawl out the window. I think that's going to be a lot faster. Yeah. Okay, now this is the situation, and this will be our final situation. You're the woman getting on the bus with the packages. And I'm going to have to help you with this because this requires a lot of practice, but believe me, it's worth it. So, all right, get on the bus. That's the way. Got a bunch of packages. Now fumble for your change. Very good. All right, now start heading toward the back of the bus. Hit your accelerator. All right. Now you brake. Hit your accelerator again. Brake again. You see how he kept her spinning in the aisle there?
Go Greyhound and leave the driving to us. Go Greyhound and leave the driving to us. Go Greyhound
and leave the driving to us.
Go Greyhound and leave the driving to us. Go Greyhound
and leave the driving to us.
Go Greyhound and leave the driving to us. Go Greyhound
and leave the driving to us.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. You want to go where people know people are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name.
Music of the Star and music of the 70s, television. Remember television? Before the internet, television business as usual. Hit shows all over the place. All in the Family, The Bunkers, Neighbors, Moving On Up. The Jeffersons, Sherman Hemsley and Isabel Sanford. George and Louise Wheezy Jefferson. Relocated from Queens to a deluxe apartment in the sky on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. Mary Tyler Moore Show. Scene Stealer with Cloris Leachman. She got two Emmys as that wacky landlady Phyllis Lindstrom. Got her own Phyllis series eventually, moved across the country, Minneapolis to San Francisco in the wake of that never-seen husband of hers, Lars, and his passing. The music of the stars, we're going to start talking about the 70s in just a bit, but I've got some more stuff. We had
America. This is the Divine Miss M here with my two sisters, Teresa, oh my, and Conchita. We are here this evening to sing for you one of the great hits of the long gone but not forgotten fabulous 40s.
Ooh, what's the name of it?
A boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B.
He was a famous trumpet man from our Chicago way. He had a boogie style that no one else could play. He was a top man at his craft. But then his number came up and he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, a blowing reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. He made him blow a bugle for his Uncle Sam. It really brought him down because he could not jam. The captain seemed to understand, because the next year the captain went out and drafted the band. And now the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. A root, a toot, a tootly out, a toot. He blows an eight to the bar. In boogie rhythm, he can't blow a note unless the bass and guitar is playing with him. And the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. He was some boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. When he plays boogie woogie bugle, he was busy as a busy. He made the company jump eight to the bar. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. Da 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 doodly a da doodly a da doot doot. He blows eight to the bar.
Big hit for Bette Midler.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll make it clear, I'll state my case, of which I am certain. I've lived a life that's full, traveled each and every highway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do. I saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this. I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I guess you knew, when I bit off much more than I could chew. But with it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up, then spit it out. I grew tall in spite of it all, and did it my way. I've loved, laughed, and cried. I had my fill, my share of losing. And now as tears subside, I find it's all quite amusing to think I did all that, and may I say, not in a shy way. No, 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 no. It was my way. Oh, what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not. To say the things he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it
live at Caesar's Palace, 1978. The music of the stars. This show was almost canceled after a couple of months on the air. Norman Lear's All in the Family. The number one show in the nation for five solid years. Carol O'Connor, Gene Stapleton, Rob Reiner, Sally Struthers. Controversial, to be sure. Charlie Strauss wrote that theme. All in the Family.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played
songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days. And you knew where you were then.
Girls were girls and men were men. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Didn't need no welfare states.
Everybody pulled his weight.
G.R. Old LaSalle ran great. Those were the days.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Carroll O'Connor.
Carroll wrote the closing theme. Here he is.
I think by now most of you know the opening theme of All in the Family, but I don't know if many of you have taken much notice of a very nice closing theme we have. And I didn't notice it for a couple of weeks after beginning my show, and I did notice it, and I asked my friend Roger Kellaway, who composed the music, if I could have permission to do a lyric to it. And he said, fine. So I wrote the lyric to it, and the title of it is Remembering You, and it's our pleasure, Roger's and mine, to do this, words and music, for you tonight.
Roger Kellaway at the keyboard.
Thank you.
Television Arts and Sciences presents the 30th Annual Emmy Award.
And now for the nominees, the leading actors, and to me, all five are leading actors, but there will be a first amongst equals here tonight. The leading actors in a comedy series, the nominees are Alan Alda for MASH, Hal Linden for Barney Miller, Carol O'Connor for All in the Family, John Ritter for Three's Company, and Henry Winkler for Happy Days. And I was just handed this envelope a moment ago, and I shall open it and announce the winner, Carol O'Connor, All in the Family.
You're all most kind, and needless to say, I'm pleased and completely delighted with this wonderful award. I'm glad all the thanks have been made in the interest of brevity. I just want to say that the reason for this Emmy is all those other Emmys, without which I couldn't win this one. Thank you very much.
That was a spinoff of a spinoff, all the way from Maude and All in the Family. And set in Chicago, a high rise. Dave Grusin wrote that, and the Bergmans, Alan and Marilyn. And he had that problem son, JJ, remember? They got him a respectable job in advertising, and that unforgettable Dynamite, the music of the stars. Talking about the 70s over here and some of the great and less great things that were on television. Maybe you remember television.
Sunny day, sweeping the clouds away. On my way to where the air is sweet. Can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street?
The Smothers Brothers, 20-year reunion.
It's the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour, 20-year reunion. With Steve Martin, Glenn Campbell, John Hartford, Lee Fresh. Yeah. Rod, Carl Gottlieb, Lorenzo Music, Gene Farmer, Rob Reiner, the Rod Poindexter Dancers, and Larry Chancellor and his orchestra.
And Jim Stafford.
Now,
I just got into town and I didn't have nothing to do. I happened upon this telephone booth with a whole bunch of writing covering one entire wall. It said, if you ain't afraid to spend a dime and if you wanna have a real good time, just give Lucille a call. Now underneath her number was this big long list. It said she'd do that and it said she'd do this. I let my fingers do the walking through all kind of stuff I'd missed. Whee! I shuffled through my pockets till I found myself a dime. I heard her ring or two and I got her on the line. And I said, Lucille, I'd like to have a real good time. Might have found a lover, might have made a new friend. Well, I ain't had a real good time since I don't know when. She said, who are you and what is this? I said, it's Jim, Lucille, and it's about this list, which I began to read with particular emphasis on my favorite numbers, 1, 5, 11, 14, 22, 33, and 41 through 59. She said, where are you? And I gave her the street. She said, you sound like a guy that I'd love to meet. She said, stay right where you are and I promise you a real good time. Might have found a lover, might have made a new friend. Well, I ain't had a real good time since I don't know when. About 15 minutes after my arrest, in the middle of the questions, I tried to protest that I wasn't that phantom obscene phone caller, master of crime. Before they took me away, they allowed me one call. And I recall that number on the phone booth wall. And I said, Lucille, me and you got an altogether different idea about a real good time. I lost my lover, I lost my new friend. Well, you can't have a real good time doing 1 to 10. Hello, Lucille. Listen here, honey. I was wondering, I'm going to be tied up for quite a while here, and I was wondering about, maybe 10 years or so when I get out of here, if you'd mind if I gave you a call. Hello? Hello, Lucille? Lucille? Hello? Hello? Hello.
Oh, the Smothers Brothers. I know. The Smothers Brothers were two of the most popular and controversial television performers of the 60s, right up there with Ozzie and Harriet. Their weekly series, which aired on CBS from 1966 through 1968, was the launching ground for such talents as Pat Paulson, Glenn Campbell, and Steve Martin, and is still considered one of the most innovative comedy programs ever on television. Working as a duo, once again, it's a pleasure to welcome Tom and Dick Smothers.
Thank you very much. My brother and I are very pleased to be on the show tonight, and we'd like to do a song that is a type of song, music, that's not sung very often on late-night television or nightclubs or concerts. It's a form of music called madrigal. Madrigal songs have been around for over 600 years, and it's a very interesting form of music, generally sung by small choirs, very small choirs, 4'11", 5 foot. And we'll do it as a duet, and it's a love song. It's a ballad. It's a... Are you? It's my brother Tom. And the song is entitled, over here, the song is entitled, this love song, the Troubadour song. It's not funny yet. First verse.
Do you happen to know of a maiden in need of a sweetheart? Here's one who is anxious to please. It's a shame that a handsome young fellow like me should be left whilst the nightingale sings in the tree. It's a shame that a handsome young fellow like me should be left whilst the nightingale sings in the tree.
It's very difficult singing a duet by oneself.
Imagine, it puts a lot of pressure on your other voice.
I don't have another voice.
Then I suggest not trying to sing a duet by yourself.
I was not trying to sing a duet by myself. That's just the way it turned out. You see, you didn't sing, you didn't participate, you didn't come in.
I don't know the words. If I don't know the words, I don't sing the song. If I don't know the notes, I don't blow the tune. If I don't know the steps, I don't do the dance. And if I don't know the words, I don't sing the song. That's the way I live my life.
I don't want a lonely mansion with a tear in every room. All I want's the love you promised beneath the haloed moon. But you thought you could be happy with my money and my name, and pretend I wouldn't notice while you played your cheating game. Silver threads and golden needles cannot mend this heart of mine, and I dare not drown my sorrow in the warmth of your sweet wine. I can't buy your love with money, for true love is not that kind. Silver threads and golden needles cannot tie your heart to mine. Silver threads and golden needles cannot mend this heart of mine, and I dare not drown my sorrow in the warmth of your sweet wine. I can't buy your love with money, for true love is not that kind. Silver threads and golden needles cannot tie your heart to mine. Silver threads and golden needles cannot tie your heart to mine.
Tommy and Dick Smothers. Saluting the 70s this morning.
The Smothers Brothers are here, Tommy and Dickie. The stuff, your material has always been great, and this, of course, was no exception. Wonderful stuff. And it's nice to see you. You're pretty much back in the uniform of when
redundancy.
You started, right? No. But you've got your sort of burgundy blazers on again. And
yeah, we thought we'd do it. If we're going to do it, we should do it. We feel better wearing the red blazers for a while.
I'd prefer the tux, though, actually.
But I like the blazers a lot. I like the red blazers a lot more than I do the tux.
Yeah, but, you know, at 1961, June 26th, right across the hall, Jack Parr Show, the first late night show we did.
That was the first one for you
guys? Yeah, and in all those years, we've traveled 150 feet.
That's right, right across the hall. We only have just a second or two here, but we will. How much time have we? We got to go right now. We'll be right back to discuss this and many other things with the Smothers Brothers.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Welcome back to the show.
The Smothers Brothers are here, of course, a little bit later, and I guess this is why you're here. Ronald Reagan's barber will be joining us. When your program was on CBS, what was the first year it was on CBS, your variety 67. Show?
66, 67, and it went off in June. April 3rd.
It went on in February. February of 67, I thought it 68, went and got fired in 69.
Yeah. Now, you want to explain that? You were not canceled, as has become the trend.
No,
you were actually...
we were fired.
Yeah.
I mean, we left under duress.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it shows
we're
up.
Not now, but we were.
We're more mature about it.
So you're handling it pretty well, then, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
It's been over 13 years now, really. It's been a long time.
But you're legends now as a result of that effort, don't you think?
I don't know. I don't get any respect around up where I live. No, I think it's been a kind of a, in retrospect, been a blessing in disguise, because it did, it was a major point in our lives and other people's lives. And 10 years later, we get this residual respect from it.
It was thought to be a very controversial show at the time. Did you consider it laden with controversy?
No. We didn't. But they didn't believe us, CBS, when they hired us, see? We were replacing Gary Moore. It was the last rated show on television. We're going against Bonanza, and everybody got killed against Bonanza. Mm-hmm. So we said we want to be socially relevant. And they said, okay, anything you want. Because we'd be in and out in 13 shows, which is now a big season. And so once we did it and did the show, they started complaining about the type of material we were doing. And there was no controversy in it except what they created.
In fact, we look back and now it's changed a lot.
Television's changed a whole lot.
Things have changed a whole lot, like... things have loosened up, like Lou Grant's show, they just got rid of him real quick.
Yeah,
it's amazing, because we were saying things on our show. He's not making a statement on the show, he's making off the back.
Isn't that weird? Yeah. He gets canned for saying things off the air, and we got for saying on the air.
He's very righteous.
What did that do to your, at what point did you realize you had an uphill battle on your hands there?
A tiger by the tail.
And we noticed it about the third show into the first season.
So, Ed, what did that do to not only you guys as performers, but your relationship as brothers?
It cemented our relationship. I think at that point, things were coming down us pretty hard, and we started to take care of each other a lot more. Yeah.
We did 72 of those shows. And Tommy and I would disagree sometimes, but the writers like Rob Reiner and Steve Martin, those guys, Mason Williams, they were actually radical compared to Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I acted as Tommy's conservative piece. And I thought, we argued about content a lot on the show. But we agreed on what we wanted to say. I just wanted to say it for a longer period of time, make more money.
But what happened was that Dick and I are closer because of that show. And it's really a break to have a brother that you can relate to, particularly the ups and downs of being a comedian. You get very depressed and kind of manic depressive type of thing. And my brother, he's basically a fascist, and he stays.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States, Mr. Patrick Leighton Paulson.
No matter how often it happens, I still get a wonderful feeling whenever I'm greeted by throngs of worshippers. Nothing like a good thronging to make me forget the slings and arrows of my opponents. The other candidates charge that when I speak, I often embarrass myself. Well, at least I don't embarrass the whole country.
I'm going to try to sing a straight song now. I've never sung one on the show. It's a song I like. It has a message for people my age or older. For the young, maybe not, but eventually it will. I'd like to try it anyway. You're born, you weep, you smile, you sleep,
You cling, you crawl, you stand, you fall. You stand again and try, and then you walk. You eat, you drink, you feel, you think. You play, you grow, you learn, you know. And then one day you find a way to talk. You're young, you fly, you laugh, you cry. You're grown, you're on your own at last. You lose, you win, your days begin to slip away too fast, too fast. Too soon you'll hear a distant drum. Too soon the time to go will come. And time won't wait. Is it too late to ask? Did I ever love? Did I ever give? Did I ever really live? Did I ever love? Did I ever give? Did I ever really live?
Paulson. Lyrics by Alan Sherman. The music of the stars, Civic Media, Radio Network.
You're born, you weep, you smile, you sleep. You cling, you crawl, you stand, you fall. You stand again and try, and then you walk. You eat, you drink, you feel, you think. You play, you grow, you learn, you know. And then one day you find a way to talk. Days begin to slip away too fast, too soon you'll hear a distant drum, too soon the time to go will come, and time won't wait, is it too late to ask?
That was Gordon McRae. One more from Pat Paulson.
At the end of a storm is a
golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on, walk on, with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone. Walk on, walk on, with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk.
Saluting the 70s. Patrick Leighton Paulson. He's born in Washington State, South Bend, Washington. Was a Marine in World War II. Thirty years ago, he was diagnosed with cancer. Died in Tijuana, Mexico. Complications. He was...
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The 22-year-old suspected of killing Charlie Kirk in Utah last week is in custody and due to make his first court appearance Tuesday. As for his level of cooperation, Utah Governor Spencer Cox tells ABC's This Week.
He has not confessed to authorities. He is not cooperating, but all the people around him are cooperating, and I think that's very important.
A public memorial for Kirk has been announced for next Sunday at State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona, home of the NFL's Arizona Cardinals. Poland and Romania both scrambled fighter jets as NATO countries respond to increased Russian action near the Ukraine border with NATO's eastern flank, as President Trump called on NATO countries to stop buying oil from Russia. Secretary of State Marco Rubio is in Israel. He's meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu. This is ABC News.